Hello, longtime loyal listeners and brand new selfies. Misty here, popping into your feed with an announcement and a special request. Whether you are brand new to the podcast or you've been with us since the beginning, Lisa and I want to get to know you better. To that end, we've put together a short survey that will help shape the future of Go Help Yourself. You can find that survey at bit.ly/ghysurvey or at the top of our homepage at gohelpyourself.co. The survey should only take about 5 minutes, and your answers will help us improve GHY and create new offerings to better serve you. Plus, as a token of appreciation for completing the survey, we're giving away 3 different prizes: a custom book bundle, a private meet and greet with both of us, and a one-to-one coaching session with me. Your feedback is invaluable and your opinion really matters to us. Lisa and I will personally be reading all of the responses and we cannot wait to learn more about you. So if you have 5 minutes, please fill out the survey at gohelpyourself.co or bit.ly/ghysurvey. It will only be open until June 30th. So if you want to help shape the future of Go Help Yourself, the time is now. And from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for being the best part of this podcast. Okay, on to the episode. Bum 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 bum. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Go Help Yourself, a comedy self-help podcast to make life suck less. My name is Misty Stinnett. Across from me is Lisa Linke. Hello, and this is the podcast where we have historically read and reviewed popular self-help books, we share thought-provoking questions, articles, we have guests on, we cover every single thing we can possibly think of in the self-help world so that you have the latest and greatest info at your fingertips so that we can be having critical discussions about wellness culture, productivity, capitalism, home decor even. Who can know?
How my queen has changed.
I have changed.
I just want to recognize it, validate it, and love it.
Thank you, queen. So here we are today, bringing you yet another. We just can't stop. We cannot stop.
Can't stop, won't stop.
That's right.
This is our house. These are our rules.
And we are going to party in the USA.
Thank you. Sort of, but they're close.
Yeah, no, we got it. Mm-hmm, so Miley Cyrus, come on the podcast.
Please. Oh my gosh. What a dream that would be.
And she has such a deep, like, cool voice. Be great. Anyway, Lisa is bringing us a topic today.
I am.
And I don't know what it is.
No.
And that makes me feel filled with dread and fear. So let's go.
Good. Just kidding. Misty, I have temporarily titled this, Does Forbes Listen to Our Podcast?
I'm sorry, what?
Okay, so I found this article. I thought we probably have a huge fan out there and we don't know. Now, he may not know that he's a fan, but if he ever heard our podcast, he would be a fan, okay? So this is from Forbes in 2022.
Okay.
And it's by Mark Travers, entitled, A Psychologist Tells You Why You Need to Escape the Toxic World of Self-Help.
Okay.
I know. Now, he is a PhD. He's an American psychologist with degrees from Cornell and University of Colorado Boulder. He is the lead psychologist at the Awake Therapy Company, which is a telehealth company providing video and telephone psychotherapy, counseling, and coaching to individuals in over 40 countries around the world.
Wow.
Also, he's the curator of popular mental health and wellness website, therapytips.org.
Oh, nice grab on that domain, my friend.
I know. I also think he calls it the popular website. I've never heard of it before, but Mark, you go. Write that bio,
you
my
get
friend.
It.
You get it. Okay. So I acknowledge his bias. He is a psychotherapist or a psychologist, and he's wanting us to ditch the self-help. But
oh, interesting. Yes, you need to work with a personal coach, aka me. Okay, got it.
Or a therapist, yeah. So he says, many people come to therapy wondering why consuming self-help content isn't helping them.
Yep.
They ask questions like, I read more self-help books than anyone I know. It makes me feel inferior because other people don't seem to need it as much as I do. What is wrong with me? Or they say, my mindset changes with every self-help guru I come across. Because of this, I am unable to follow through on any of my self-improvement goals. What do I do about this? Or I spend a lot of money on self-help events. Sometimes I don't even want to go, but I have a fear of missing out on valuable tips. How do I pick and choose? Or my Instafeed is full of self-help influencers who claim their method is the best. How do I know who to trust?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Right? Like, it's so difficult. So he says, from how-to books to life coaching seminars, self-help is a multi-billion dollar market, which we know it is currently valued around $40 billion, but $38.3 billion in 2022. Some people say 41, so I'm going to say 40.
By the way, I think when we started this podcast, it was something like 13.
It was insane.
Billion, so it's increased.
I mean, the pandemic really... ramped that up.
5 years. It's like, man, how do I buy stock in this self-help market?
You don't. But here, by 2032, it's projected to be $81.6 billion. So he says, there's nothing wrong with seeking out ways to improve yourself, but self-help is not a cure-all solution. In fact, it may do more harm than good.
Yeah.
He says, for example, a study showed that those who consumed self-help books had higher levels of cortisol, which is the stress hormone, and were more likely to have depressive symptoms compared to those who did not.
Okay, Mark, I feel personally attacked.
But I think he'll love us because we've already come to this. He says, the problem may be that most self-help content available to the masses follows a one-size-fits-all approach to mental health.
Yeah.
He says, look at it this way. When you approach a mental health practitioner for help, they listen to you, try to understand you, and offer solutions that work for your unique situation. On the contrary, when someone writes a self-help book, their goal is to sell as to many people as they can.
Yeah.
So self-help content is often oversimplified or sweetened with a false sense of hope and meaningless pats on the back. This is why so many people feel that they can relate to these books and feel happy while reading them, but it's essentially toxic positivity.
Wow.
He says, understand that when it comes to self-help, it's easy to get caught up in a cycle of books and seminars and videos without really addressing the issues in your life. It can become an addiction of its own. Often seeking out self-help content is a symptom rather than a solution, to which I say, Misty, would you say that at some point in your life you were addicted to self-help?
Oh, this is a great question as I sit here on, you know, our self-help podcast. Yeah, I think definitely. I think, addicted is a strong word. I think I absolutely felt that I needed it or that I was doing something wrong without it. You know, we have episodes on internalized capitalism, productivity culture. Is wellness actually attainable, right? And this idea of like, here are all the things you need to do to show and prove you're a good person and to actually feel happiness and these sort of prescriptive things from people who are trying to sell us stuff. But I would say, yeah, there were times where I didn't know what I didn't know or I didn't have a deepened emotional intelligence or embodiment to even know what I was feeling. And so I kept going like, well, maybe another book will help or maybe another seminar or if I can just learn some relationship hacks, then maybe I can be more satisfied in my relationship as opposed to being like what foundationally might be wrong.
Yeah, I think that I love what he says. Seeking out self-help content is a symptom rather than a solution.
That's right. Yeah.
So he says, here are two ways to achieve self-improvement without being dragged into the toxic world of self-help. Which I said, come on our toxic podcast, baby. Come on, Mark Travers. Number one, understand that not all self-help is created equal, which I think we do a very good job of on this podcast.
Oh, we say that all the time. Anybody with an Instagram following who knows how to work an algorithm
is not qualified.
Can get a book deal.
Yeah.
Truly. Yeah.
So he says, in general, the self-help industry loves to promise easy fixes for all of your mental health problems. In fact, this is what keeps them selling in such large numbers.
Because nobody ever gets fixed. Right. And so they're like, let me buy the other book.
But ask yourself this, if promises were true, why do so many people rely on qualified mental health practitioners for help with their mental health issues? Right.
Because you control them.
Right. If you can just read a book and solve it, why do psychotherapists still have an industry? Right. Although millions of self-help gurus peddle their magic solutions online, easy, Mark Travers, why is the demand for mental health practitioners consistently on the rise? Again, this was in 2022. We were mid-panini. Like, I think, panini. You know, everybody heard ads for BetterHelp, you know, and I think people were saying, like, this, we're experiencing collective trauma. It's time.
Well, I would also say that our world has grown infinitely more complex in the last 30 years, even if you just look at global supply chains and geopolitics and misinformation and deep fakes. It's like the amount of anxiety and housing markets and things, we are incredibly stressed and there is less stability than there was before.
He posits that when it comes to helping people with a serious issue like mental health, legitimacy is paramount. Unfortunately, a good percentage of self-help gurus have no qualifications to discuss the topics they choose to discuss, which you and I have talked about, like screamed about.
That's right.
During book reviews.
Which, by the way, when we first started the podcast 5 years ago, I was like, well, what are their credentials? What are their credentials? I don't want to listen to somebody who has no credentials. I have gone a couple of feet towards the other direction of saying, you know what? Wisdom is not necessarily, just because you have a university degree does not mean you have wisdom.
I don't think it needs to be a higher education degree.
Right, but what's their relevant experience? Yeah, exactly. So I just want to call that out. But that's also the difference between me being 30 and me being 36. You know what I mean? That's a large swath of life experience.
Yeah.
That's different. So
he quotes a classic study published in the American Psychologist, which suggests that because self-help is often layman helping layman, the solutions described in self-help books may not take into account an individual's nuanced symptoms. He says, which a psychotherapist is trained to interpret.
That's right.
The study, which reviewed over 100 studies and case reports about self-help, also found that self-help treatment plans were often not easy to follow and were likely to be misinterpreted by the intended audience.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Did it say anything there about like human behavior or how things actually work? Because like when you're like, just get a new habit and do these 10 new things differently, and then like New Year's resolutions, right? Everybody falls off of it. It's like,
no, it really wasn't about that. This in particular was a 1987 study by Gerald Rosen, and it was published in the American Psychologist Association. Okay. And it was, the title of the paper was A Commercialization of Psychotherapy. Which, think about it, in 87, that's the boom of like self-help books in the supermarket, like, you know, all of that. And recognizing that it's not working.
Yeah.
So he says there are legitimate sources of help. These are the ones that don't oversell their mission statements, right? Keep an eye out for those sources. Always run it by a qualified mental health professional before you commit to a do-it-yourself treatment plan. Can you imagine if the number one, the number one seller on the New York Times list for like 8 weeks straight was how to become less of a sociopath? I'm a sociopath and I care about people now, and you can too. Like, would I recommend that to people?
Yeah.
So.
And at the same time, it would be wonderful to run a self-help plan by a qualified mental health professional. Anytime I had an idea for a plan, am I going to get a $300,
that's right,
you know, copay? How do I find that? Like, that's, he's doing a little bit of what he's saying, which is like, it's just that simple. And it's like,
Well, I think it was a poor illustration. I think he is saying it's not that simple.
Yeah.
And you are pointing out the astute fact that so few people have access to mental health in this country.
Which is where some legitimate self-help comes into play.
That's right.
But you can still say, who is this author?
That's right.
Where did they come from?
That's
what is their background?
The second tip he gives to avoiding toxic self-help is to understand the importance of setting goals and taking actionable steps.
Okay.
So the business model of many self-help gurus is dependent on two connected ideas. One, sell feel-good content to a wide audience. Two, get repeat customers.
Oh, boy.
So it's kind of tautological and cyclical.
Tautological?
That's a circular reasoning.
Okay.
I went to a state school. And in this, I said, I'm really proud of our podcast because we don't sell feel-good content. Mm-mm. all the time. And
if anything, we skew a little too dark for calling ourselves a comedy self-help podcast.
Sometimes we do. Yeah. And also our goal, obviously we want to reach people, but we're not trying to get repeat customers by hooking them in.
Well, we don't at the moment sell anything.
I know. But I feel like we're more of a, hey, well, you are welcome here. Mm-hmm. If you like it, stick around. If you don't, enjoy your life.
Yeah. And like, you know, we started this just to be of service. I was wishing a podcast like this existed for myself. I couldn't find it. Mm-hmm. And then we created this. Mm-hmm. And
here we are.
And here we are. And also just like being of service, you know, it's, yeah, I don't know. But it's great because I feel like I have learned how, if I wanted to, I can make a lot of money being like with no time at all. One
you
minute a day
can become live the life of your dreams. Seven-figure salary.
While you sleep.
In Bali.
Just buy this course for $1,997.
If you would have told me that 1 year ago,
I would be podcasting with Lisa, Travis,
and God. That's a deep TikTok
cut. We're referencing a deep TikTok cut.
Some of you will get it, and some of you are now curious.
Okay.
Okay, so he says, this is why you often hear from a lot of gurus about their exclusive newsletter or ebook or video or mm-hmm. live seminar, because mm-hmm. they've built a customer base that's loyal to their framework of solutions. Mm-hmm. The key, I think, of this is Tony Robbins, is James Clear, right? Like he has an app now.
Well, even the entrepreneur society that I belong to, mm-hmm. right, is like, because I'm trying to learn how to build a business mm-hmm. and do all these. I'm really interested in that. This is the method. It right. will get you there. It will get you the life of your dreams. You will make right. six or seven figures. You will have a freedom-based life. So it's like this whole
right.
thing. And it's, I mean, like, yeah, okay, that sounds good to me. Let me try it.
Absolutely.
But it's also like, there's a reason people are in there years and years.
That's right. So he says, to keep yourself on track, it's important that you think for yourself. Don't be vague about your goals for self-improvement. Because if you have a very clear, defined goal or list of things that you'd like to achieve, then you can compare to what they're offering and see if it's a fit.
Oh, okay.
Right?
Okay.
He says, one study published in Current Directions in Psychological Science, sign me up, that sounds fascinating, explained the importance of goal setting in improving motivation, self-esteem, autonomy, and self-confidence. Mm. And there are studies that show you are more likely to achieve your goal if your goal is challenging and well-defined, which is why these, you know, this two connected ideas for gurus, feel good content to what it's so easy to do it. And, oh, you probably just didn't do it exactly right. Try this, right? Try it again and again.
What interests me about your sentence that you said just now is challenging and well-defined. Mm-hmm. Does he say why challenging is important?
It's a study. But I think if my goal is to stand up,
It's easy.
I have no incentive really to do it. That kind of defeats the purpose of it being a goal. It's something that I don't currently have or isn't currently and easily attainable to me.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Once you know what you want to improve on, use legitimate self-help sources. Take the tips that you can implement in your everyday life, put them into practice, and don't get hung up on the next problem to solve. Understand that self-help content needs to stand on its own merit, not your loyalty to the guru who created it. To which I say, there are no gurus. Love it. In conclusion, he says self-help books can be a great resource for personal growth. However, it's important to be aware of the dangers of unregulated advice, quick fixes, and one-size-fits-all solutions. But when used with caution and critical thought, self-help materials can be a valuable tool on your journey to personal growth and development. And to that I said, you're welcome, Forbes.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Hashtag you're welcome, Mark Travers.
Hashtag stop copying us. No, you know, it's one experience I had that was like, oh God, is when I first got into somatic therapy. Mm-hmm. So soma meaning like with the body, and I basically had done all this cognitive therapy and it was amazing. And there were still things going on with my anxiety. And so I tried, you know, I was like, all right, let me work with this somatic therapist. And somatic therapy was a lot of like very gentle, like, okay, where do you feel that anxiety? Does it have a shape or a color, you know, stuff. But I remember after the first couple sessions, I was like, this seems pretty like slow moving. Mm-hmm. Like, when am I going to see progress? Mm-hmm. And my therapist was like, oh, yeah, it can take years.
At least she was honest.
And I was like, are you what? You know, because I was so used to this, like in just 6 weeks, you can't. And even a 6 week transformation, right? Seems right. like a long time these right. days. But she said that and set the expectation. I was like, oh, God. And ultimately, I was like, well, the time is going to pass anyway. And I'm
might
the
as
anxiety's
well
not
be
going
living
anywhere.
In my body. Ooh.
But now it's been a couple of years and I have a higher baseline level of well-being mm-hmm. in my own skin than I had before. Mm-hmm. But anyway, the point of that anecdote is that it was so daunting to hear like, oh yeah, the shifts are subtle. It takes a long time. It is work that can't, you know,
can't
necessarily be
up.
Yeah, rushed or codified or put in a simple four-step process. Like, no, it like ebbs and flows and two steps forward and five steps back and whatever. So thank you, Lisa.
Thank you. And thank you, Mark Travers. And you're welcome, Forbes.
Come on the podcast.
All of Forbes magazine. Come on the podcast.
Yeah, you guys, Forbes editorial team, we'll see you at the cheer off. And with that,
life is abundance.
Go Help Yourself was produced by Lisa Linke and Misty Stinnett in Los Angeles, California. The intro and outro music you're hearing right now was produced, performed, composed by Sav. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please visit us at our website, gohelpyourself.co, or email us, gohelpyourselfpodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much.
Thanks, everybody.
See you later.
Bye.